they interpret the Constitution in civil rights and hate crimes matters. For example, for decades, the federal government has not had the right to come into states' rights in law enforcement unless there's something like slavery or voter fraud or jury tampering and things like that. But what this bill does is it breaks down all of those barriers, gives the federal government virtually unrestrained rights to come in and take over local law enforcement. That's why it's called the Local Law Enforcement Enhancement Act. It should be called the Local Law Enforcement Takeover Act, because it basically makes the local policeman and the federal policeman all of the same legal status. It unites local and federal law enforcement. And that becomes a police state, you see, when there's no distinctions, no checks and balances. And what they want to do is create this uniformity of law enforcement in America so that a hate crimes agenda emanating from ADL and the hate crimes bureaucracy in Washington can come down on Christians, pastors, talk show hosts anytime they want to, any part of the country, just like they came down on Christians in Philadelphia last October 10th.
What happened last October 10th?
Well, last October 10th, in Philadelphia, there were 11 Christians who were doing nothing more than preaching and witnessing in the public square in Philadelphia. And you can do anything you want to in the public square during the middle, literally in the middle of a huge homosexual rally. You can play a banjo, you can use a megaphone, or you can probably even walk around naked. But these Christians were witnessing, and the hate crimes Gestapo of the Philadelphia Police Department, who were authorized by Lynn Abraham, who is a head honcho of the ADL. In fact, she is an executive board member of the Anti-Defamation League. She gave authority to the chief of police there to have these Christians arrested with 8 charges against them, including violation of the ADL's Pennsylvania anti-hate law. And the total time that they would have had to have spent if they had been convicted under these 8 charges would be 47 years in prison and $80,000 fines each. Now, that was an outbreak of rage and desire to persecute Christians coming from the ADL, the same people who proudly boast that this federal law that they have now persuaded the House of Representatives to pass should become the law of the land.
Mm-hmm. So the beat goes on, doesn't it? They were going to do the decadence convention just before the Hurricane Katrina, weren't they?
Yeah. Well, I think we saw what God Almighty thought of that. But this federal hate bill is extremely ominous because it has now passed the House of Representatives. That is water behind the bridge. It has now been introduced into the House Judiciary Committee, and it is absolutely vital within the next couple of weeks, literally, that all who treasure free speech and our First Amendment rights have got to call their members of the Senate. We've got to blitz the Senate now with an avalanche of protests by angry Americans saying we will not allow our First Amendment free speech rights to be taken away. And basically, if I might give the toll-free number to your members of Congress, that toll-free number is 877-762-8762. Again, the toll-free number to Congress is 877-762-8762. I was just talking to Representative Conyers of Michigan, who is a liberal who has introduced this legislation into the House, a Democrat. I was talking to him, one of his staffers there, and he says that having now passed the House, this legislation, if it is adopted in its present form, as it was approved by the House, if it's adopted by the Senate in that present form, and the Senate votes on it as the House did, it will become law when the President signs it. There will be no conference. There will be no appeal beyond the President of the United States. And I'm sure George Bush will probably sign it. So what we have to do right now is direct. our members of Congress, first to our as constituents, to those from our states, we have to tell them in no uncertain terms that if we find out that they have voted for this Orwellian legislation, we certainly will not vote for them next time they're up for re-election.
Yeah, I certainly understand that. This situation continues with the State Department. They have a worldwide anti-Semitism direction in place. It goes all over, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, President Bush last fall signed the Global Anti-Semitism Review Act, which sets up a special department in the State Department, and of course that is entirely staffed by the ADL, the Nigerith people. They have ghostwritten its first 40-page report on world anti-Semitism. You see, B'nai B'rith, the ADL is the ADL of B'nai B'rith. B'nai B'rith is the huge umbrella Jewish fraternal, educational, and religious organization worldwide, which has presences in 55 countries of the world. And they are establishing a huge 55-member hate crimes a network, a government, or a hate crimes bureaucracy in Europe. It's the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, and they are setting up a huge hate bureaucracy over there, which has a large division dedicated to ending free speech talk radio on the internet, which they fear very greatly. They're combining the best legal experts, cyber tech experts, to find ways of banning free speech, especially by right-wingers like us on the internet. And they're also setting up a statistics gathering organization out of this huge anti-hate bureaucracy, which will receive statistics from all of these 55 member nations on real or supposed hate crimes going on in these states. And of course, these hate crimes, or most of them, are bogus because they are based on criteria from the ADL, which says that a hate crime or hate is nothing more than bias against another member of a federally protected group. And that, of course, makes Christians into haters because they follow hate literature, which is the Bible.
800-313-9443. If you'd like to question Reverend Ted Pike, listeners, 800-313-9443. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Happened here is H.R. 2662 has passed the House, correct, Ted?
Yes, it has, buried inside the Children's Safety Act, which is H.R. 3132.
And our hope is to generate phone calls to our Capitol switchboard and stop this as it goes any further.
Yes, primarily to the Senate now. The Senate actually is more inclined to pass this bill than the House was. And in fact, last year they passed the same bill 65-33. So it's going to be kind of a hard sell. But we've got to blitz the Senate. Now here's an interesting point. If the language remains the same in the Senate approved bill as the House approved bill, then there will be no conference between the House and the Senate. However, if we can persuade members of the House Judiciary Committee to change the language in some way, even an iota or a comma, then this is obligated to go before conference between the House and the Senate, and that is a real ray of hope, because in conference we have a large number of special conferees which are appointed by the very conservative House Majority Whip's office, presided over by Roy Blunt of Missouri. And historically, throughout the last 5 years, these feisty Republicans have always cut off the ADL's hate bill off of arms bills and so on. So what we have to demand here, folks, is what we have to demand. When you call the toll-free number, which is 877-762-8762, here's a simple statement you need to make. Cut hate bill off Children's Safety Act, H.R. 3132. Again, our simple message is cut the hate bill off of the Children's Safety Act, H.R. 3132. If we can either cut it off or have the language modified in some way, then we have a ray of hope that will go before conference, and our Republican saviors and defenders, who are the conferees, can again have a good chance of cutting it out of the Children's Safety Act.
And once again, the Children's Safety Act is H.R. 3132?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Let's move to the phones, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. I believe we have Joe in Arkansas. Welcome.
Yeah, well, actually, you just answered my question. I was calling to ask just what it is that you would like us to say to the senators when we call. And that question has just been answered, so thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Joe.
Yeah.
Let's move to Wes in New Mexico. The number to call people, 800-313-9443. Hello, Wes.
Hello. Thank you. Answered my question, too. I appreciate what you're doing, and I just wish we could wake up a few more people to write the senators, and I hope they won't be so dumbheaded they'll just block and go through like they did on these other things.
Thank you very much. In fact, I think we'll be putting up the Senate judiciary members, especially the Republicans, on our website pretty soon. And if you'd like to call this toll-free number and also call all of those Republican, especially members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, that would be a lot of ammunition sent against them.
I'm not computer literate, so I'll have to just go and call in my
okay.
And ask them to do their duty on this thing.
Right. Well, we will be having that up fairly soon, and our website is www.truthtellers.org. Again, my website is Ted Pike at truthtellers.org. We have a lot of articles there educating about hate laws as well as video sales and so on.
I might get a friend to go in there and do some looking, too. It might help her there, all right? We'll do all we can to recruit as many calls as we can.
Good for you. We have a very powerful video, which is called Hate Laws, Making Criminals of Christians. That video is available online at truthtellers.org. And you can actually watch streaming video of it for 7 minutes. And if people would like to get that right now and show that in their church this very week, show that to their adult Sunday school or their conservative group, you can call me at 503-631-3808. That's Ted Pike at 503-631-3808. And have your credit card handy, and I'll fire you off a copy.
Okay, I'll see if I can do that. Thank you very much. Keep up the good work, and all we can do is get on our knees and pray for God to help us.
That's a huge part of it, too.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, what are you asking for a donation for those videos or that video?
That's $24.90 for the video. That's an 82-minute VHS. We also are getting them on DVD this week, too. So either of those formats.
Mm-hmm. Very important to get the word out on this direction, listeners. We have another caller. Let's have that caller. Welcome to the broadcast, caller. Jim in Tennessee, how are you?
Yes, good. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Hello. I had two comments to make, and these are directed towards Christians in America. The first comment is...
I'll tell you what. Hold them over. Keep your thoughts in place. We'll continue on the other side of the commercial pause for the Free Enterprise Cause. Support the sponsors on the network. Very, very important people. And Republic Trading, 800-691-7898. Tell them Chris sent you. And let the network know you did the same thing. 800-691-7898. We'll be right back. Stay with us. According Reverend Ted Pike listeners. H.R. 2262, S. 1145, will ostensibly, while punishing only violent hate crimes, nevertheless creates an anti-hate bureaucracy through several means. It breaks down all barriers between federal and states' rights in law enforcement. It allows federal thought police to meddle upon the flimsiest of pretexts in states' enforcement of civil rights laws. Let's go back to James. Your thoughts, James?
Yes, I had two comments. The first one is that it's about this so-called conspiracy, and this is directed towards Christians. They keep saying, write your congressman, write your senator, write the president, or, you know, all these things. And every time I've looked in the Bible says that punishment comes on us because we don't turn to God and ask for his help. And you can see that with whenever you turn the TV on, whenever you listen to the radio, barely anyone is saying, pray, 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 pray. And then the second thing is that, and most people aren't going to believe this, but it's true if you look at it, everywhere in the Bible where you see the word Israel or the house of Israel, because remember, the two kingdoms were separated and they were driven off from the land. And that 2 Samuel 8:7, I believe it is, tells us that God will appoint a new land. And also, if you read the blessings Jacob gave his children, and then also Joseph and Joseph's children, and then read what Moses said, then read the Song of Moses, and then also everywhere you see the word Israel, think of you at the United States and Great Britain. Those are the children of Joseph. And most of the European nation, archaeologists have already proven, but it's just not widely known, because it's suppressed information, that the Caucasian race that appeared out of nowhere in history, that was the Israelites driven away from Assyria. Those cuneiform tablets proving that were discovered in 1850. And everywhere you read the word Israel in the Bible, think of the European race, and especially the book of Isaiah. Almost the entire book is about the USA. So I would hope that people would look at the Bible in a new light and realize who they are. And why these punishments are coming upon us? Because God allows it in order to afflict and chastise his people until they will turn to him and pray and repent for all the sins that are in their land. And until they do that, they will continue to be afflicted and afflicted until there's barely any of them left. And the Bible tells us this. But God will protect those who remain and pray and be faithful and believe in him and trust in him and nobody else on earth. Because that's what the Bible says. God says he will redeem them.
Reverend Pike, do you want to respond to James?
Yes, I appreciate your emphasis upon the spiritual, James, and the need for prayer and intercession for our country. You may know that I'm director of the National Prayer Network, and my father and my brother and I were very instrumental in helping reestablish the National Day of Prayer for the United States. We flew an old airplane around in 1980, all around America, pulling an aerial banner. We had a huge loudspeaker underneath the belly, and we called out, "Pray for America." And our message and our publicity campaign got to the ears of President Reagan. And in 1983, my father was back there in the Oval Office as one of a number of conservative leaders witnessing the signing of the National Day of Prayer. That would never have happened without our initiative. Now, prayer is vitally important, and national revival and repentance and public humiliation before God is vitally important in this. However, Jesus said, he says, "This ye ought to do, but not leave the other undone." And all my life, ever since I've been a child, I've heard pastors and Christians say, if we just pray, if we just evangelize, all the political problems of the country will be taken care of. Well, if you pray and evangelize, but you don't put oil in your car, or gasoline, or get your car lubed, if you pray and evangelize, but you don't drive on the right side of the highway, you're going to run into real problems real fast. And God has given us this precious republic as a mechanism to preach the gospel and to bring light and truth and happiness to mankind, but we have to maintain it. And considering the level of crisis we are in right now, literally we are within weeks, literally within several weeks of losing our First Amendment privileges in this country and going into an anti-hate bureaucracy identical to Canada's in the months and years ahead. Considering that, you see, I have to mention also and emphasize the tremendous need not only for prayer, but also for doing what is in our hand, the practical thing which God has set before us to help save a Christian civilization.
Well stated. Let's move on to Julius. Julius, welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning.
Thanks for the warning. It's actually good afternoon.
Well, out here, it's still morning.
Okay.
I have a question. You say what we need to do is we need to call our Senate now at this point? Or
primarily senators now.
And it's already gone through the House and there's nothing we can do about that?
It's a done deal in the House. Now, if this bill should be modified in the Senate and then it goes into conference, then I'm going to tell everybody to blitz the conference members and the Republicans in the House too, because half of the conference members will come out of the House and we'll have to work on them. But at this crucial moment, now is the time we have to get in touch with our members of the Senate and tell them to cut off the hate bill off of the Children's Safety Act, which is H.R. 3132. And if they can do that in the House Judiciary Committee. They can cut it off right now if they wanted to, if there was enough opposition, enough flack coming from the American people. Certainly they can modify the language and open up the possibility of it going into conference. But now is the decisive moment in our nation's history that literally all good men and women must come to the aid of their country against this anti-hate bureaucracy.
And so is there a Senate bill number separate from this House bill number you mentioned?
Yeah, there's S-1145 was the number as it was introduced into the Senate last spring. But if it's going through as the Child Safety Act with H.R.'s Amendment 2662 buried inside of it, probably the most important thing is to refer to the Children's Safety Act and insist that this hate bill, which is buried inside of it, be cut out. And, of course, we're not opposing the Children's Safety Act. We are opposing this insidious legislation, which is a rider, an amendment inside of it.
Okay, so it's H.R. 2662 that has to be removed from within H.R. 3132.
That's exactly right.
I just wanted to get that clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Carol.
Arkansas, but I do know her. But I called my congressman's office yesterday about this hate crimes bill, and I got a lot of runaround, and finally got a call back yesterday that evening that they did tell me that it had been put into another bill, that they did pass this, but I didn't know the name of the bill, and they didn't give that to me, that it had been included in. And I had been trying very diligently to find out more about this Hate Crimes Act because it definitely needs taken out. So, Chris, I appreciate your program so very much and the information that you've given to us. I'm a first-time caller to your show, but I do go to your website quite frequently. And God bless all of you, and just thank you so much, and I certainly will be calling my senators now.
Thank you, Carol.
We are desperate in this nation. We have got to awaken people and take action. We don't have any more time to waste.
That's correct.
So I appreciate you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you for your participation. It takes a lot of courage to call for the first time, listeners. You can see and feel the desperation of all our country at this point in time with this disaster in place, with the shutting us up, the direction to quiet us down, listeners. It's very, very obvious what's being engineered here in 2005. Jeff in New Mexico, welcome to the broadcast, Jeff.
Hello.
Hi.
I'd like to make a statement no foul language, of course, and then have your minister guest reply whether or not he thinks under this new legislation I could be defined as a hate outlaw. I think the Swedish model that married Tiger Woods turned her back and broke the heart of some Swedish white male factory worker or delivery driver she could have married instead. I think this Swedish model's father was stupid for saying Tiger Woods is such a nice fellow and not opposing the marriage. I think Tiger Woods and all pro athletes, for that matter, are overpaid through Nike and other sponsors and sports events ticket buyers. And
no.
I think public school desegregation has been detrimental to white people.
Well, that would be considered evidence of bias on your part by the ADL,
mm-hmm.
but it would not be a hate crime here. It would be hate. Yes, absolutely, it would be hate. It would be bias and hate because they're synonymous according to the ADL. But it would not be an indictable offense here in the United States. However, it would be indictable in Canada because they are not protected by the First Amendment. If you said those statements, which would be considered derogatory against blacks
mm-hmm.
or interracial marriage and things like that, mm-hmm. that would be considered a violation of Section 319 of the Canadian Federal Code, which prohibits expressing public contempt for certain federally protected groups. And
well, see, to me, what Tiger Woods did, that was indirectly a hateful act against some white male in Sweden or other place in the world that could have married
that's
her.
That's a tough one to call at this point in time. And I think it's beyond our comprehension to get into this at this point. Tiger Woods became famous because his father put a golf club in his hand at the age of four. And he concentrated on golf with his son. The father was building his son to be a professional golfer at a young age. That's the same thing that happened with Lance Armstrong with the bicycle. The mother took him out and took him to triathlons, built him up at a young age. Lance Armstrong, the same thing. Okay, so there's interracial marriage going on. At this point in time, I don't think we have to do this. The black people at this point in time, they're our allies right now in America. I'm sorry. You may disagree with me, but right now we are fighting communism. Communism is everywhere. The communitarianism direction in America that nobody even knows about is very well in place and implanted. And to divide us at this point in time, the way things have gone along, I think it's a big mistake.
But I think there's a problem with the values of our society. Like
that could be.
You can donate blood. You don't even get paid for donating the blood. But, you know, not for your own blood bank. I mean for blood that's going to be given to somebody else. You don't even get paid for that blood. But Tiger Woods getting all this money for just playing a game that I can't even stand to watch.
It's a free enterprise system. Tiger Woods earned everything he did to become a professional golfer. He earned it at a young age. You're not listening to me. Anyone can do this in America today if they have the right guidance.
Nike is ripping off workers in other countries.
Okay, I appreciate your call, Jeff. This is going nowhere. Let's move on. This is not logical, listeners, at this point in time to go there. Not logical. Let's move to Roger in Pennsylvania. Hello, Roger.
Yeah, thanks. I can't wait to hear the call, blasting Arnold Palmer for his millions, you know.
You know, I don't see any logic in what he was saying.
Well, yeah, why be, you know, the communist system worries about how much other people make, that they're making too much money, and I certainly am not going to be any part of that. And I wanted to ask you, Reverend, or Pastor Pike, could you, I think it was a different carol, was it on your show, I think, or maybe Statmiller's, that she was pretty adamant that she had, and I thought she had conversed with you, Pastor, that to clarify this, that the bill, in fact, hadn't yet even come out of committee, according to her. It was still in committee.
Yeah, but she was confused about that. I have talked, I discussed this in detail, in fact, with the representative Conyers,
okay.
Staffer this morning.
So it's just as you alluded to.
Whatever I'm saying today is the absolute truth.
Okay, great.
Now,
then we're clarified.
Okay, yeah,
and
sure.
And lastly, on the Senate version was the number 1145, and then that had the That was the Child Safety Act as well that happened.
No, 1145 is the heat crime, Local Law Enforcement Heat Crimes Prevention Act.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's a specific, and that was S, of course. S,
yeah.
Local Law. And then, so that wasn't attached as a rider to a Senate bill yet.
Yet, but what they're wanting to do is to put that in with identical language into their version. If it's identical language, then if it's passed, it will become law when the president signs it.
Okay, thanks for those clarifications, and God bless. And, oh, and everybody, you have maybe up until 5:30 Eastern to call your... to get through your congressional offices, and you'll give out the toll-free again, and God bless.
Thank you, Roger. 877-762-8762. That's 877-762-8762. Let's move to John in Colorado. John.
Hello, welcome. Chris.
Yes,
Reverend, I have some questions.
Yes.
We have come full circle with Genesis 6, 1 through 7. Matthew 24:37 backs us up, and what's going on backs us up. We will not beat the New World Order. Our Creator is using the New World Order to make you realize Deuteronomy 28:15-68 is going to destroy this nation unless you comply with verses 15 and 58. Now, what you people are doing, it's self-reverencing and self-worshipping. John 10:34 and 35, Psalms 82:6. We humans are all gods and goddesses, not our Creator. Now, the only solution is get immersed in His name, Yahweh. Comply with Leviticus 26:2. Get the prayer prayed over you in Numbers 6:24-27. Then go to 2 Chronicles 7:14 and do it.
John, what you're saying here is incomprehensible to me. We live in a real world.
You better wake up, preacher.
John,
this is not where we go at this point in time on this network, in this broadcast. I appreciate your participation. Connect the dots, people. We'll be right back. Broadcast listeners, we anticipate Scott Stevens to be with us on the second hour, but Reverend Pike has graciously decided to stay with us until we can field all the phone calls, and if Scott Stevens does call in or when he calls in, then we'll have to jump to him. But in the meantime, let's move to Jim in West Virginia. Hello, Jim.
How you doing?
Fine, thank you.
You know, you've been controlling this program, in my opinion. And I'd just like you to come off, you know, of the pseudo-intellectual mind control tripe that you've been putting out, okay? The problem is that there is a problem. And any confabulation or congregation of minds and thoughts that we could come up with to stop this beast that we call, for lack of a better term, world government, world order, or whatever, even for a little while, we'll at least make our garments that much whiter when we stand before the Savior for judgment. Now, the problem that we have in this country is not that people are giving out too many of their own ideas or lack of comprehension or anything. The problem is that there is a sense of hopelessness and helplessness in the average person. And they say, well, I can't do this all by myself. Hello?
I'm listening.
Oh.
Reverend Pike is listening.
You're allowed your opinion. The previous caller said that we're going to lose the war, or the battle, actually, but we won't lose the war. And the point of the matter is that all of our actions will be either for us or against us when the time comes to stand in judgment. So you better look after yourself first, because nobody else is going to.
Can I respond to that?
Please.
You know, back in 1949, there was a huge Chinese Christian church, which was the product of more than 100 years of evangelism from America and Europe. Christian missionaries had gone there and created a church, a Christian evangelical church of literally millions in pre-communist China. And in 1948, as Mao Zedong's forces were beginning to encircle the Chiang Kai-shek government, he sent messages to the evangelical leaders in China saying, you don't have anything to worry about from communism, because I'm just an agrarian reformer. My only enemies are the feudal landlords and the aristocracy are taking away all the land from the people and so on. I just want to redistribute the land and so on. And these evangelical leaders were impressed by his high-mindedness and felt like you that nothing too bad could come out of possible revolution and so on. When Mao took over, literally the rivers of China ran red.
Oh boy.
With the blood of millions. Yep. Millions of Christians who thought they could wait and see and God would deliver them and faith would sustain them and so on. Now, that is no different. Listen, Jim, you're going to have to learn from history that God, to a certain extent, helps those who help themselves and take action and live in the real world and put their hands to those practical means which he has given to us to save our nation. And that practical means right now, I'm going to give it again, is this toll-free number to your members of the United States Senate. Folks, every listener here has to make that call today, 877-762-8762. You tell them to cut the hate bill off of the Children's Safety Act, H.R. 3132. And if you find out... if you find out they're voting for that, you are not going to vote for them next time around at the polling places.
Mr. Pike.
Thank you for your phone call, Jim. I appreciate it. We could hold you over if you want.
Sure. I do have another broadcast at the bottom of the hour. So.
Okay. We need to do that and field these other two phone calls and then move on. Stay with us, listeners. We'll be right back with the second hour of American Exposé.